know, it just dawned on me this morning as I sent my wife and my children along with the pastor and his family, plus Chris, off into the mission field. And what dawned on me was I've been studying a piece of scripture for the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, and it dawned on me that we as a church are operating out of obedience to the scripture. And I want to share that with you all today, because really, didn't notice at first, but it's biblical. It really is. And so, in the scripture that we're going to talk about today, I gave you a title, God's in Support. Well, I should have added some stuff to that. But really, God does send support. So open your Bibles now to Exodus chapter 17. And before we go into scripture, let's just get a little history out of the way as you turn there. You know, here it is, Moses, the appointed leader that led the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. Moses was also instructed by God to do some things while they traveled in the wilderness. For instance, just above in this scripture, Moses was instructed by God to strike the rock so that water would be provided to an entire people. We also know back in scripture, in this very same book, that while they were in the wilderness, God provided food for them, manna and quail. And so all this journey now, we have identified Moses to be God, the one God has called to lead them while they're in the wilderness to the promised land. And so let's look, and please stand with me as we read God's word. Beginning in verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Verse 10 says, "So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remain steady until sunset." Verse 13 says, "So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.' So Moses built an altar and called it, 'The Lord is my banner.' He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Let us pray. Sovereign and holy God, Father, we come as a people this morning, oh Father, to hear from you. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and speak, oh Lord God, pushing all of our personal preferences aside, oh Lord God, but allowing your Holy Spirit to have his way among us today. Father, we ask that you would be swift and give us clear vision and understanding. For we as a people want to be obedient unto you, O Lord God. We want to praise you and exalt you for who you are. We want to be able to bring glory to a holy and great God. So, Father, have your way with us this morning. speak to us and handle us the way you see, O Father, that your will be done. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And God's people said, please be seated. Now, interesting enough, this scripture kind of paints a picture for us today. Why does God send support? We know that in the scripture here, we see that God wants to gain a victory. He wants to be glorified. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Because that's what God wants. And there's three things we're going to talk about today. He says, so how does God gain that victory? By sending support to our leaders. By getting God's people involved. And last, by us glorifying a great God. And so, if you look in verse 9, because God, because our leaders are supported, in verse 9, you see where God tells Joshua, he says, choose some of our men. I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but Joshua was never even heard of until this moment. Joshua being just a worker. That's what he was. He was just a worker, just like probably 50 to 75% of the men of the Israelites. The other part being farmers and servants. And so it wasn't like Joshua was told to go and pick out the best warriors that we have, because there weren't any. There were no warriors in the Israelites at this time. And so here it is. Here's that first bit of support. He chose Joshua to lead some men against the Amalekites. A little bit of history is the Amalekites are a profound and great army. They are true warriors in the Amalekites. So we have simple Joshua with some simple men that have been chosen to go to battle, to go to war, to go into the field, to take on a great army. And then we look in verse 10, I believe it is, as I work my way back up here. Along with Moses, you had Aaron and Hur, who also, they went with Moses to the top of the hill. Again, we all know through scripture that Aaron was chosen as a, you know, well, he was Moses' speaker. Moses didn't speak well, so Aaron was that voice that the Israelites would hear. And so we knew kind of Aaron's stature, but Hur, until this scripture today, we never heard of him. Matter of fact, I think this is pretty much the only time his name is mentioned in scripture. Well, Hur being, I think Hur was probably somebody of esteem with the Israelites. So that's why he was accompanied. But Hur was just an average guy as well. Called to go up and, as we see in scripture, support Moses, who at this time was the leader of the Israelites. And so how does all of this fit in with us? Right? How does all of this fit in? Well, I have an example that I would like to share with you all. Me being the youth minister at this church, most of you know that I work away for 7 days and come back for 7 days. And so for me, I needed support. I trusted God that he would provide that support for me, and he did. He sent me Chris, he sent me Paul, he sent me Ryan, he sent me Kristen. So God sent a team of people as a support underneath me. How does that all fit into this picture? Well, was it last week? We had students go to DNOW last week. It was last week. Last week, my support had to take half of their day, one day, to bring my students up to ME Baptist Church. And then Sunday, during church I left, during church they had to leave to go again to pick those students up. So when I look at the scripture, Moses needed support. The support Moses received, he had Joshua, he had Aaron, and he had her. Three different classes here. We had a worker. We had someone who already was placed in a point of authority. And then we have just the average guy. So I am grateful to see that that example exists in the Bible for us today. Because we as a church, that's what has happened to me. I needed support. I needed somebody to go with our students as they go out into the field. And so God provided that support for me. He sent me some awesome leaders. Awesome leaders to step in while I've been away. To take care of his business. Who gets the glorification in that right now? Not me. I don't get any glorification in that. But God gets all the glory because he sees our students growing into maturity because of that support system that has been given. Funny how support works. We as a church are also in a position of support. So everybody needs to get involved. And when I say this, I say this in this fashion. If you look with me at verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up on one side and the one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Wow. Wow. So here's Moses. He has his hands up in prayer. In prayer. Let's just picture this. He has his hands up with his staff, by the way. So let's add a little bit more weight to that. They get kind of heavy. And they get heavier. They'll get heavy enough to where he's gonna let his hands fall down. So here we are. We're the church. And I'm going to use marking them today, because since they are going into the mission field, they are our warriors who have gone out on the battlefield. Let's just put it that way. Three times this morning I heard about us lifting them up in prayer and being in prayer for them while they're on the mission field. So we as a church, that's what we're doing, correct? We're lifting them up. Our hands are held up. And from what I can tell by the example that the Bible has showed me, this, when Moses' arms got tired, he needed help. In fact, let me read something for you I thought was really good. It says here, though this was Moses' work to do, and that was to continually pray, it was more important. It was more than he could do by himself. Moses alone could not win the battle of prayer. He needed others to come on by his side and strengthen him in prayer. We as a church, that's what we're doing today. That is exactly what we're doing. We are lifting up the mission team in prayer. And constantly, because we know that they're in prayer themselves, but we already know that they can't do it all on their own. They need a supporting cast. We are that supporting cast. We've confirmed that, and I'm going to tell you how we confirmed that, because I didn't hear it one time today. I've heard it several times this morning, how we as a church need to continue to pray for those in the mission field. That is huge. Talk about obedience. That's obedience. We see it in Scripture, and I have seen it active in our church today. That is what God has called us to do. He's called us to lift up those in the mission field. Well, better than that, often we hear us, we need to continue to pray for our pastor because he needs support as well. Senior pastor needs support. He does. He's surrounded with a team. But from what I can see in Scripture today, it takes more than just his staff. It takes an entire church to get involved. And that's what it is. We all need to get involved. God wants us to get involved. We see here, her. Nobody's ever heard of him. We just know him as an average guy. So I'm going to say this. Her reminds me of just the average person that sits in the pew. Needs to get involved. So for us today, God calls us to get involved in what he is doing. He asks us to join our leaders and support them in prayer because they're involved in what God is doing. And I just said it again, I'll say it here, is he expects that even the average person get involved. The person that sits in the background that isn't seen to get involved in what God is doing. So I have some scripture I want to share with you all. Kind of confirm that we all need to get involved. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says this, just as the body through one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. 1 Corinthians 12:29 says this, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Let's go even further than that. Ephesians 4:16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ryan spoke about that. They talked about that today in their Sunday school class. So we see here that as a church body, we need to be the supporting cast. I see that, and I heard that this morning about how we're supporting our mission team. And here's a crazy thing. We are supporting our mission team. We're supporting a vision that God has given our pastor. And we have done this. We decided that as a church body. But there's another gentleman that's going on this mission trip with just him and his daughter where their church has not seen the vision yet. They have not responded to the vision that God has given their pastor. Now, he's still going on a mission trip, but it's just him and his daughter going. Now, last year when me and Brother Russell and the other mission team went, again, it was just three of them from his church that went. There were four of them that went from their church. And still, they were praying that at that time that his church would get to see the vision that the pastor has and support that vision. Here as in our church, we have supported that vision. As a church, we have. It's so important that we see it. We see this. It's so important that we understand that God calls us to be that supporting cast. That is not just for, you know, the main characters. And what I mean by main characters is like the deacons and the teachers and of course me. And the rest of the staff. It's more, so much more important than that. So much more than that. Because it's taking the entire church body to be that supporting cast. And we see it in Scripture here today that it took not just Moses, who was only going to be able to do so much to support Joshua, who's not a leader in battle, who's not a warrior, who took some men who aren't warriors or soldiers to go to battle. They weren't at all. So it would take more than just Moses to be in prayer, but it took Moses to have support. And we see the support that he received. We've seen that he had Aaron, who we know, we can call him the staff member. Let's just get it out of the window. And he's the staff member. And then we have her, who I would believe to be just the average guy. In that case, her would represent the body of believers. He would represent the remaining balance of the church. And that we would be the supporting cast, praying that God would be glorified through the victory. As a matter of fact, that's what happened, right? Joshua gained the victory because Moses, with the help and assistance of those working with him, held his hands up in prayer so that Joshua and some men can defeat the vast army of the Amalekites. So, how does God get the glory? How is God glorified? Well, I don't know if he said it, so verses 13 kind of paints it out for us, really. It says, and I can read 11 through 13, but let's just get down to the end of it right here. It says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And how did he do that? Because Moses was in prayer. He was supported by Aaron and Hur, who at this point was probably just doing more than just holding up Moses' arms. But they labored in prayer so that Joshua and his few men could gain a victory over the Amalekites. So how is God glorified in this? Because number one, he gained the victory. He gained a victory through some average people, untrained soldiers. We didn't send a vast army. He didn't send a vast army. No, he didn't. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But we know that at this time, the Israelites didn't have a fortified unit of soldiers. They didn't have any warriors. But he didn't send an entire people down there to fight the Amalekites anyway. He said, choose some men. God gains the victory, so he is glorified because it took so little to beat such a great army. God is glorified because they labored in prayer. They labored in prayer, supporting Moses to stay in prayer so that God can get the victory. But what about us? We know we're operating in obedience. At least I've heard it, right? I know we have some prayer warriors in this church. I know we do. But we have to continue to labor in that. We have to stay in prayer for our soldiers who are out in the field, for our mission team. That's what God is calling us to today. I've seen how obedient we are with it. The repetition of we need to stay in prayer makes it all that much more important. And we do. We need to stay in prayer for our pastor. We need to continue to support him, lifting him up in prayer. And we need to continue to be, as a church, to get involved. We sent a very small team out this morning. Very small team. And from right, there's only 3 adults, Russell. Well, if you count Eric. Yeah, 4, but I still count Eric as a student, so I'm going to say 3 adults. We have 3 adults, and the rest are all students. So because we have said we need to stay in prayer, we really do need to stay in prayer for our team. Because as small of a group as it is, God can gain a victory. God will be glorified because we're the supporting cast for them out there. That's what we are. We're the supporting cast. So we're going to continue to lift our hands up in prayer for them in the field. We need to continue to lift up our pastor in prayer. Not because he's out in the field, because God has called him to lead this church. And as we continue to lift him up in prayer, God will continue to speak to his heart, give him clear vision. We have proved today that we are a very supportive church. He wouldn't have made the decision to take on the mission field in Guatemala without the support of his church. And so that's where we are. That's right now. That's where we are as a church. That's where we are. We needed to continue to jump out of the pew and get involved. That's it. It's that simple. The thing I love about it so much is that you see the Word of God, and then you see our church. And you see the obedience that happens in the Word of God and the obedience that has fallen upon our church. How important is that? That is very important. And it's not to pat us on the back. It's just to let us know that we're doing what God has called us to do. It's that simple. That's what he's called us to do. Pray with me.